Brett Hollander back here on WBAL. And coming up this weekend, a two-day signing event, including 20 Orioles from the 1983 World Series Club. Some incredible names on the list, just to name a few. You may be familiar with Cal Ripken, Jim Palmer, Rick Dempsey, Mike Boniker, Scott McGregor, and some other great names that you're also very familiar with, including Sammy Stort, and he joins us now. Sammy, how are you?
Oh, doing just fine, doing fine. I appreciate WBAL having me on.
Well, Sammy, let me ask you this. Obviously, this is for a signing event coming up this weekend. We'll get more of the details in a moment. But how often over the last 30 years since that group won the championship, and really in the post-career era for you guys, have you been able to get together like this?
Well, probably twice. I think twice is all I've had a chance to see the guys together like that. I've seen Dipper on occasion, and I saw Flanagan, of course, I've heard from Dave Ford and Dan Ford and Ross Grimsley and a few of the ball players, Eddie Murray, Jim Palmer, and it's so wonderful to have a chance to sit down with them and have a little meal on Friday night before we go to the signing on Saturday. And MAB putting this together was a great thing with Molly, and I'm so happy to have a chance to be there because the Orioles really instilled in me the way and the will to win, and that was a fantastic time of my life. I mean, who wouldn't want to get back together with those guys and just not come in like I've done something great, because I have been to prison for almost 7 years of my life, and things are going good, and I want to just see these guys and communicate with them and respond with them.
Well, I was going to ask your personal story, and you got out of prison when, Sammy?
January the 11th.
So it's only been a few months?
Yes, it's been about 7 months.
How are you doing, and what are you doing right now?
Well, right now, I watch a lot of TV, Stay Hungry. I watch the Cooking Channel. I love Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And I'm coaching some young boys. Joey Davis, a guy here in Hendersonville, I've been with him about 7 weeks, and he just went to North Henderson Baseball School and was voted most valuable player, so I'm very proud of what I'm doing with him. I've got another 18-year-old boy that I'm working with that wants to go to college in South Carolina, and he's got a great arm, so I'm working with teens, I'm working with young men, and I go to my therapy, and I have a great woman here from Spokane that came to be with me and support me, and we just live in a little duplex here in Hendersonville, which is, we've had all kinds of rain this summer, and my pepper plants are swarmed, but everything's growing now because we've had sunshine the last week.
Sammy Stort from Oriole with us here on BAL. And Sammy, you know, I don't know how many fans are familiar with what happened with you really when you left the Orioles, which was just 2 years. You spent 10 years in the big leagues, 8 of them in Baltimore, and then you ran into a lot of off-the-field problems with drugs. Where did things start slipping away from you personally?
I believe it did in 87 after the collusion came down on us. There was 56 of us that didn't get a chance to go free agent, and I was one of those. I didn't get to start spring training. I didn't get to play the first 3 months. And then all of a sudden Cleveland came to me and said, would you play for $147,000 for 3 months? Now, with the economy the way it is and everything back then, a lot of people think that $147,000 is a lot of money. But I was looking at a contract with the Orioles. I was wanting $800,000, and I was making $340,000. So, not talking about the money, but I wanted my heart to stay in Baltimore. And once I went to Boston, I went to my third World Series. I pitched 19 and two-thirds scoreless innings for John McNamara and got him in first place. And then I tore a muscle away from the bone in my forearm, had to have 5 cortisone shots. Then after that, I went to Cleveland, and I won 4 games and lost 2. And things started slipping then, I think, and that's where the downhill progress started. I went to Boston and started smoking cocaine, which is the worst way you can do it. It takes 2 seconds to get to your brain before the euphoric feeling, and things that I didn't understand was just getting out of hand. I was still too big for my pants. I mean, I should have just been able to cope, but I wasn't.
And then how long was that relationship with drugs from that point to the point you got arrested? Was it constant over, what, another 20 years or so?
Yes, it was. It was. There's no doubt about it. There was. There was times that I would lay off, and then all of a sudden it would start back, and the binges would start. And it was a hard time in my life. And I've had two sick children. I don't blame anything on their health, but I lost a son in 91 with cystic fibrosis, and now I've got a daughter that's 31 years old. She wasn't supposed to live past 15, but she had a double lung transplant at UNC Chapel Hill in 2005, and she's had 8 years now, and we just found out a little bit of rejection is getting in her, where she's having acid reflux. The acid is coming and going in her lungs, causing a rejection, and we're very sad about that, and she's had to make so many hospital visits here in the last 2 months, so we're praying for that, and I don't blame that, but everything goes together with being out of baseball. You have to be able to find something else. You have to realize when it's over and go on and help other people, and that's what I'm doing now.
Well, Sammy, we really wish you our thoughts and prayers with you and your family on that, on your daughter, and I have to ask, how emotional is it going to be to get together with this group after everything you've been through and really not seen many of them at all over the last several years, if not decade or more?
Well, I have so many, Brett, I have so many memories. I mean, I can remember Cal Ripken Jr. I mean, playing with a swollen ankle and making a play in the hole and then coming to the bench and telling me on the day that I was off out of the bullpen, I got set in the dugout, which was a very rare time for me because sometimes Earl would say, today you're off, you know, because you pitch five or six innings or out of belly, which, you know, they'd give me that day off. But anyway, I'm sitting there and I hear Cal Ripken Jr. saying, hey, watch this, Sammy. This guy's going to start me off with a little changeup away, and then he's going to come in with a fastball. Well, on the second pitch, he hit it up on the bank in Kansas City. I said, how great are these guys? And, you know, we used to start off. Ken Singleton used to have a little cheer at the first of the game, and these guys are thinking we're crazy. The opposing pitchers out there, when Bumrey would go up to the plate, he would say, come on, little boomer. And everybody in the dugout would go, ooh, oh. And it was like, they're looking at us like, what are these guys doing cheering in the major leagues? That's the way we pull together. We come from two parts of the game. We come from Earl Weaver's intensity, which when you were pitching, he was up and smoking those cigarettes. Mm-hmm. When we were hitting, he sat down and played with a little styrofoam cup. Well, I mean, if you were 3-0 on the first hitter, Earl, we were like, Jesus Christ, Ray Miller, did they warm up or what? Yeah. What's going on here? We're going to need 15 runs here. And then all of a sudden, Al Belli was just opposite. He was laid back. We took the 83 game. He made some great moves. I mean, he learned the personalities of the team. Al Belli was just laid back, and I do miss Earl. I mean, he was a wonderful little manager. He's the one in 79 that told me that I stunk when I give up a home run. George Brett was 5-for-5 in that game. When I finally come in, I give him a fastball. He hits it out to win a walk-off game. So Earl Weaver says, you stink. You'll take a shower. So anyway, I mean, Earl Weaver was like, I mean, I was like, he goes, have you not been watching the game? He's 5-for-5 on 5 fastballs. And here you are coming in from the bullpen giving him another fastball. And I said, well, my curveball is like a 2 out of 10. I mean, I can't throw him a curveball, you know. I don't have anything else to throw him but fastball. But anyway, it was just two different aspects of the game. When Joe Altobelli, he gave us some rope. He let us play. And he made some good moves, though. And it shows when you're a world champ.
He is Sammy Stort, former Orioles right-hander, who we really appreciate you sharing, Sammy, your story. It is fascinating, and it's important, and you'll be at this 30-year reunion of the 83 World Series team, a two-day event, Friday, September 6th, 5 to 9, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. You'll be there on Saturday with a lot of your former teammates, including Eddie and Cal and Palmer, and Tito Landrum is coming back, and Gary Renicky and John Lowenstein. It's going to be great. And it's at the Holiday Inn in Timonium at 9615 Deer Cove Road. Again, the Holiday Inn in Timonium this weekend. Thank you so much, Sammy. We want to catch up again soon. That was pretty fascinating.